Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host, and we're talking wall-to-wall Saints football. Hour number one, we went over a lot of stuff offensively. We still have more offensive stuff to talk about. Tomas, he's not happy. He had some big things to say. You know, during the break, I didn't hear the end of it. These are important things that need to be discussed, and we're going to jump right back on it. But before I do that, I want to make sure that everybody out there knows how to get in touch with us. Tomas, you usually do this. I jumped on it before you. You like that? I'm becoming self-sufficient.
I got nothing.
701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline. For those of you who don't remember, listen, you call, you leave a recorded message. We put it on the show, and we're going to discuss what you have to say. And it's easier, man. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to listen to the talk to the producer. You don't have to do any of these things. Just leave us a message, and we'll get you on. Yeah. Or you can go ahead and send us an email, bsandbeer@icloud.com. Now, last hour we left off, and I got to go back to my man, Tomas. I got to keep him happy. You know, it's like when they say happy wife, happy life. Yeah. I mean, he ain't my wife, believe me. But I got to keep Tomas happy. He keeps the rest of us happy. Tomas, you were saying how that the Saints needed to cut Michael Thomas. Go ahead and give us your thoughts on that.
Keith, you know, isn't there a word for someone who says that he's self-sufficient in some ways? Because he said, you know, he doesn't need a wife, so I'm just wondering, you know.
Did I say that?
That's what I heard, clearly. Sure. You can check the tape. I clearly heard that. You're self-sufficient, you know, and you don't have to worry about a wife because, you know.
Yep.
And but of course
he's got two hands.
But your boy's holding his poor boy waiting for you. So we'll move on then.
All right. So, okay, let's reel it back in.
Okay.
We were talking wide receiver.
Yes, we are.
And I think we were starting to have a good discussion.
Yeah.
We ran out of time.
Yeah.
So you were saying Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
You're not feeling good about him? What's your thoughts?
Well, it's only two games, and so you have to wait and see. He's recovering from a very, very serious knee injury. So he might not be 100% day one. And with some of these people that we have playing out there, again, I go back to my possibility of only two quarterbacks. You know, I'm going to say to you, what if Cameron Meredith goes on IR? And we have Michael Thomas, Brandon Tate, who is a good five. He's going to contribute in special teams, but he can also run some power.
And it's funny, you go one and then five, because that five is probably going to make the roster because of his special teams.
That's correct.
So, okay. I like how you're doing that. He's going to be there spot.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then number two would be Traquan Smith. That'd be your number two receiver. So you got 1, 2, 5. Ginn's going to come in there as number three.
Sure.
So you got 1, 2, 3, 5. Now you all have a four. If you put Meredith on IR, does that mean Tommy Lee Lewis stays?
No.
I don't think so. Does that mean that Austin Carr stays?
No.
I don't think so.
Man, they held a spot for him all last year.
Yeah. Well, but you had to think they were high on him.
Yeah. But it's funny. I felt like the Saints needed wide receivers last year. They load up in offseason, and now all of a sudden a guy like
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee and
Carr.
And Carr don't even have – I mean, it's not even – I would be amazed if either one of them made the team.
No.
I don't think either one will.
I haven't even heard his name.
But that leaves you then two names to think about. Michael Floyd and Keith Kirkwood.
Right.
Now, to me, one of my UDFAs, I missed one. What did I miss?
One a day.
Oh, bringing him back?
I mean, they talked about bringing him back.
Why are you trying to complicate
this? Right from the minute they let him go, they said, don't be surprised if we see him again.
Yeah, you know, I had a boss that told me that. You wait around that phone. We might give you a call. You never know. As a matter of fact, I had a girl tell me that a couple of weeks ago. I'm still waiting for that phone call.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm not taking. But
she called me.
Just today, I read somewhere someone said something. You know, it's just one of those things on the internet, and it just made you think. Is that, you know, like, could the Saints be considering bringing him back? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I wasn't high on him before he left. And I just think that there's enough.
What? He's laughing because what?
What?
You weren't high on him before he left? You loved him.
Oh, my God. Why?
There's only one guy you love more than that guy.
Okay, now little Al Toon was a baller. Now I think he was done wrong. Okay. Done wrong. Right. But I think they
clearly one of the biggest mistakes in
the Saints' history,
front office history. Yeah,
yeah, forget
along
about.
With AA, right?
Yeah, all of them. Like yeah, I don't know, man. Those were pale in comparison to the day that they let go my guy Toon. Yep. So anyway, get back on track. You see,
so I'm just saying to you that I think it comes down to Michael Floyd and Keith Kirkwood. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Now, I haven't seen much of Floyd, but let's remember he was a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
And if he's got his head on straight.
I agree.
He might be able to do it, but I just haven't seen it.
Okay.
But I have seen it from Kirkwood.
Let me
go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Our biggest issues last year, I'm not going to ask you a rhetorical question because you do that to me, and I'm like, I have no idea what you want me to say. So last year, our biggest issue on offense, converting third downs.
That's right.
And red zone offense.
Yeah. Right.
Man, I can see with an experienced receiver that has, like, physical skills. Now, he's had personal problems. But if you're talking about number four, I get that Brandon Coleman could block. I get it. But I think
he can't be a four. I'm sorry. There's no place for him now.
I think that you have a guy.
That was a joke.
Like Michael Floyd that has the physical skill and is a big body target. And he's played. I forget the statistic I saw. He's played on the last two representatives. Has he been on the last two Super Bowl teams or maybe the NFC or AFC championship game? Point is, he's played in big games in the last 2 years. It's not like he's some recreation guy that they just bring off the street that, well, let's see if we can get something out of him. Yeah. You know, he's a guy that has contributed on teams in the last 2 years.
No, it would be nice to see him get back to the form that he had early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, close to it. I mean, he's a big guy.
Could he be a matchup that would get you a first down? Could he be a matchup that gets you a touchdown in the red zone?
Yeah.
And that's what you
he
would think.
Be, yeah.
So that's why I would say to you, let's see what happens in the next two games. If he comes on in the next two games, then I think Kirkwood is a perfect candidate for the developmental squad.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And you put Floyd as your number four.
Because I agree with you. These guys, Floyd, Ted Ginn, getting long in the tooth. You kind of, you know, you have some youth. You have, I mean, Michael Thomas is a young guy still. I mean, he seems like a wily veteran.
And Smith.
And
well,
Smith.
Floyd, I mean, what is he, 28, I think?
He's not
30
old guy.
Yet. I mean, it's not like he's.
But you still, I do think that you have to be thinking towards the future, you know. And
oh, well, yeah, yeah. No, I don't think they've necessarily. Well, I mean, if he ever would turn it on, he, you know, but yeah.
If the light comes on, the maturity. Right. And you know what? How many times does it happen? I mean, over in Cleveland. They're talking about bringing Gordon back, and I mean, you're talking about
he's
a guy.
Come back.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I heard he's probably back. I don't actually follow the team, but if the show on HBO, that's all I follow for.
Yeah.
Hard knocks. Yeah. So, but the point is that man, the guy has talent. Sometimes it just takes them to get their head together, and it could click. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to have a great team like the Saints, and all of a sudden a guy that you really wasn't expecting much, but has the talent of a first-round draft pick is a big body, can convert third downs, can get you a touchdown in the red zone. Man, if he comes to life,
remember,
what a scenario.
Remember that the playbook is very difficult to grasp, okay? And so, you know, I'm actually very surprised how quickly Traquan Smith has picked up a lot of the playbook, okay? Which this just goes to show you that the system that's in place for draft, where they keep talking about, they keep looking for smart guys, character guys, instead of, you know, the hot flash, the flashing guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it goes to show because Traquan Smith is going, and Michael Thomas did the same thing. By game number four, Michael Thomas knew the entire playbook, right? So maybe Floyd is having a little hard time picking up the playbook. Okay.
Well, you have to expect it because he hasn't been here all offseason.
Right.
He was a late signee, you know? So
possibly we might see something in game three or four with him, and I would say then. I really like Kirkwood. He's one of my undrafted people that I like. You know, I can see Kirkwood going to the developmental squad and sitting there just in case. Hey, somebody gets hurt, we got a guy ready to go, you know. But I don't see Tommy Lee making this team. I don't see Carr making this team.
No.
And these are people that before the draft, people were saying, well, you know that guy Carr we picked up from New England. Yeah, he, you know, we let, you know, poor Snead went. You know, I'm going to really miss saying, Snead! You know,
right.
But at the same time, they were talking about how Carr will take the place of Snead. Well, no, I don't see that. You know, so
I can see that some of these guys and okay, everybody says this every year, but there will be some players on this team, and we're talking offense right now, who get picked up by other teams. I can see Carr is a solid slot guy. I can see him signing with someone else as soon as the
Saints. I can see Tommy Lee getting picked up.
I can see Tommy Lee. You know, it's
because
like
say speed.
He's done some good things. Again, sometimes I think we get lost in the fact that the Saints offense has to be ran with a certain precision. It's complicated to learn. And you could see a guy going from our offense to an offense that maybe isn't so...
Right, it's an easier play.
Yeah,
right.
Easier. And they
Well,
they
like,
can
for
do
example,
it.
Snead in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen anything from them yet. Not, again...
But Baltimore actually did sign a new offensive coordinator, they're running a kind of a...
Well, what I'm saying is, like, there are certain teams, and usually I'm talking about the Browns, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to watch those guys. But Baltimore is a team that...
I watched them last night because they were on TV.
Saying their name, I just start dozing off a little bit. Yeah.
Well,
just
they were
just
on with the Colts,
you know,
last night, and this is why I was saying to you all before the game, before the show. Yeah, before the show, I was telling you, did y'all see the Colts game? Because Andrew Luck was just... pathetic in this game.
I saw it on Twitter. I didn't
If
see
anybody's going to sign Andrew Luck, I mean, sign a quarterback like a Bridgewater, it's going to be the Baltimore Colts. I mean, sorry, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Because I can't see anybody but Brissett being the starter. And Luck, he might be done.
Wow. That's hard to believe. He was the future of the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you have like six surgeries on your shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, so let's.
All right, so we did wide receiver. Group. Now get to the one that I'm worried
to
about.
We do the offensive line. Now listen, the Saints starting offensive
line. How much time
I
have to talk about this one?
Is solid as it comes, solid as a rock. The problem is they had some injury issues last year.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to believe that we might not run into those same problems. So what we really need to focus on, not so much the starters, because it's a rock solid group. Yes. I mean, it's a top five unit in the entire league.
Yes.
Is who's going to be the backups, Tomas?
Now you got it. Now,
One of the guys, much maligned because he was thought to have been drafted higher than he should have been, Rick Leonard.
Yeah.
He's a right tackle kind of a guy. I say right tackle kind of guy because that's where the Saints are trying to put him.
Yeah.
He, I think, had one or maybe, was it 2 years at
Florida
State?
2 years at
But he's a converted defensive end.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's still trying to become natural at a lot of things that offensive tackles figure out early. He's still trying to figure it out. But there's a mixed bag of reviews. There was actually, where can I find this? PFF, and take it for what it's worth, because I'm the first one. It's funny. When PFF says something, I talk about their numbers because it's interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
But if I don't agree with them, it's like, yeah, but who listens? Yeah. But PFF had him as the second amongst all rookies. The second in
highest ranking
in pass pro,
yeah,
second right in run blocking.
Yeah.
Now, I know everybody's like, wow. Of all rookies, let me make sure we put that out.
Yeah.
Of all the rookies. So,
yeah.
But just last week, Coach Rochard, am I pronouncing that right? The offensive line coach?
Yep.
He didn't jump on him in public, but he made some public statements questioning his work ethic.
Yep.
Questioning his, and he just said some subtle things that you're like, wait, he just glossed over it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, people, did he just say that? Did he just say the kid, like, we trying to get him where we need him to be and we need to work on his work ethic?
Yeah.
So
he
I
said
don't
they
know
gave him a lot and they'd like to have seen him fight through the end, something to that effect. But
having said that, we talked about it. Bushrod, a guy who was on the Saints team in the Super Bowl years, played left tackle. Hasn't played left tackle since, Heath.
Yeah.
He's been playing guard.
Yeah.
Right now, who plays left tackle, which maybe it's Andres Pete if Armstead's injury woes continue.
Yeah. Well, I think absolutely. We're as of right now, we're still in the position where if something happens to Armstead, Pete's gone to left tackle and somebody else is coming in at guard, maybe Bushrod or whatever. In fact, not only has Bushrod not been playing left tackle, I think he's been playing right guard.
Really?
Since he left the Saints, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe he can play both sides. I don't know. But he's not playing tackle right now. He's out there, but he's not playing tackle. he's playing Ole right now because it's bad.
Well, and we have a guy on a team that's called Ola.
Ola.
Which should be his name.
cut down day, they'll be saying
be Ola.
Yeah.
But this is my problem. If you look at my sheet, which I'll hold up here.
What's the other kid though?
Question mark. I mean, I have a lot of question marks on this team.
What's the other guy?
Wozniak is the other one you think about?
Wozniak. Yeah.
Now I will tell you,
He's another project, but he's...
Of all the people they're talking about, and this is my problem with the short arm kid.
Leonard.
Yeah.
T-Len.
What is it with the Saints and these drafting yeah. these short arm guys?
But we're not... Now, when we get the
defense... Well, that one-on-one between him and Hendrickson must be fun, huh? Well,
their face mask are hitting before their hands touch each other?
Yeah.
Well, the visual alone has got me like,
oh my God.
Sissy fight. But I would say to you that this is the biggest problem. I know people are going to think tight end, but actually, I'm okay on tight end for the most part. But offensive line, I am scared to death because offensive linemen get hurt. They get beat up during the.
They do.
Course of the
they
year.
Do. Hey, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from break. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's just the timing of it, Tomas. I don't mean to cut you off.
I feel a rant coming on.
Oh, he's getting upset. Y'all don't go where Tomas could blow a gasket any moment.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yets and a coon ass.
Oh, that's a different tune. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We were talking a little bit. What was it that we cut you off this time, Tomas?
Offensive line.
I mean, we have to get to some defense here. Give us your final thoughts on the defense on the offensive line.
We have five good starters. We got nothing behind that. However, I will tell you, I'm just trying to be truthful with you. Succinct. I think that Clapp will make this team on developmental squad. He's a good kid. He's picked up a lot of this. He can play guard and center, which is ideal for what the Saints want. But I think Cameron Tom, who's now back, and I watched the tape on him, you know, he's looking very solid, and the Saints have been very high on him as a backup center. So I think that Tom makes the team as a backup center. I think Clapp goes on the developmental squad. Now, beyond that, Larribas, okay, I guess because he has experience, but there's not much there to me. So this might be another position like Dave likes, which is like the quarterback position.
Makes me nervous.
Maybe our backup guard tackle is on another team and hasn't made it back to us yet. But I like Wozniak. And don't be surprised, in my opinion, that fourth-round pick gets cut. I don't see him even.
It ain't happening. I mean, I feel what you're saying. It's not happening. I heard people say he's going to try to get him developmental. I think that it.
Or he might be one of those IR candidates, you know, surprise.
Now, that I would see.
Got a turf toe.
I could see all
of that. Maybe I can send him some of my gout and he could, go on into reserve.
My liver. Yeah. Next thing you know, he's on IR.
Maybe so.
That I can see.
Coach, I can't pee.
Before we transition into the offensive side of the ball, ESPN just came out with, and I don't keep up with them enough, but RPI, what is that? Is that the run pass index? It's a power ranking, okay? So the Saints, ranked number four in the RPI that ESPN just released.
Now, who's the three ahead?
Number one, the Eagles.
Oh, Eagles. Sorry.
Number two, the Patriots.
Yeah, sorry.
Number three, the Steelers. Now, here's the problem what I have on the list. We're number four, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's see. 11 of our 16 games are against people in – I'm sorry. Yeah, 11 of our 16 games are people who are in the top 10 of this RPI.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a murder.
We have the second
row.
Hardest schedule in the NFL.
I mean, it's murder's row, man. I mean, it's the thing about it. I use this example in the offseason about players. Like I think Kamara, we were talking about. Kamara could be 30% better football player. But you won't notice it because he played so well. He had so many big plays. But he's going to be better at running certain routes, better at pass pro, better at all these things. But you won't necessarily see it in the statistics. And I'm looking at our schedule. And, I mean, we might be a much better football team, but playing a schedule like we have.
How much of it will be negated by the
increase in the schedule? I don't necessarily see us winning 12 games. I mean, we're just every week you have to be on. Because you don't get enough of those cream puffs. You don't get enough of those number three in their division guys.
You know, the thing to remember about that is that this is largely based on what happened last year and on paper what's happened with certain players and what they picked up. You know, some of these teams may not wind up being quite as good as they, you know, so the rankings will drop once the actual games are being
played. Yeah.
Potentially,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And could get worse, too.
That's generally how it happens, because here's one of the things. I don't expect Carolina to be that good this year. But here, on the other hand, the Packers are going to be a much better football team than they were last year because of Aaron Rodgers will be healthy.
Until he's not again.
You know? Okay, I like
well,
it.
Well, you know, I mean.
This is what I say to you because, you know, you say Philadelphia's up there, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, Wentz hasn't been completely cleared yet. He's not really ready to start. And Foles just came back with a injured shoulder.
Got a little injured, dinged up.
So here we go again, you know, when everybody's talking about, oh, man, look, it's a tough schedule. Look at the Rams. You know, I just read something about the Rams. They're signing all kinds of people because they got nothing in backups. They have great first stringers all up and down the lines, but they have no depth whatsoever. So they were talking, this article, I was reading through it, you know, was saying that if they have a couple of key injuries, they're done. Two or three injuries, and they have nothing behind that.
Yeah.
You know, well, and whereas at the Saints, seriously, we have an injury at defensive line, it's okay. Well, I mean, it's not really okay. But, I mean,
no, it's
we
never
have
good
a
to
backup.
Lose a player, but we do have depth, and, you know? And that's the funny thing.
Except
is that,
quarterback.
Except quarterback.
And but that's every team.
Let's keep them healthy.
Just like you said, Aaron Rodgers goes in the Green Bay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so switching over here, let's start with defensive line.
All right.
And I'm going to go with you first, Tomas, because we have plenty of time left in this segment, a good 45 seconds to tell us everything you think about the defensive line. Now, one of the things that I maybe two talking points here that I think
all
is
right,
important. Alex Okafor looked to have come back from an injury, a severe Achilles injury.
Yeah.
And he first day of practice, he was out there full pads, playing full participation.
Yeah.
But then recently there's a big scare.
A bone bruise,
but his leg buckled. He has a twisted ankle and a bone bruise. I mean, that has to be scary.
Yeah, it was definitely scary.
Other headline in this, as far as things to concern yourself with, Marcus Davenport. He's a first-round draft pick that we gave up not one, but two first-round draft picks for.
Yeah.
He's been a little dinged up. He hasn't been practicing a whole bunch. When he has been practiced, he's been relatively ineffective.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that I still think that towards the end of the year, he could be effective. But right now, Tomas, I think the Saints have to move on and let him catch up when he gets a chance.
So do you think that Davenport might be another IR designee?
No. It ain't happening.
Well, I just thought I'd ask.
I know, and
do
I'm saying
no. Do you think Okafor might be an IR designation?
It depends on how severe the bone bruise was.
I've had one of those. Not a nice, nice pleasant thing.
Yeah.
When your leg looks like it's black as midnight.
Yeah, but they got a lot
but,
of stuff.
Yeah, of course, I didn't have the pool to sit in and the masseuse and all that kind of stuff.
Electronic magnetic stimulation things and all kinds
of
whatever
else.
I had a bag
of frozen peas. But in any case.
Bologna.
Yeah. That's it, you know. Well, just looking at it here, right defensive end, we have four guys in there. Now, you know, Jenkins has a free ride again this year.
Right.
So he doesn't count for us or against us, but he won't play. Muhammad has gotten a lot of playing time.
Right. Well, because a lot of guys, I don't want to call
because Davenport's not playing.
And Cam Jordan
and Okafor's
hasn't
not
played.
Playing.
And yeah. So he's had a lot of opportunities.
But he hasn't impressed me. So we're down to Okafor and Davenport for the right defensive end. For the left defensive end, Cam Jordan, Trey Hendrickson, but we also have Levin and Johnson.
Right.
Now, George Johnson has also played right.
Meet George Johnson.
Okay. And Levin has too. I don't think Johnson makes his team, but I think Levin does. Okay.
That's a shame because it's such a cool nickname for him.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. But, you know, he came in and did a job.
I
appreciate what he
did.
Year. But, again, we're looking at youth.
And the depth. I don't see him making it either.
Now, the kid I see really making it, and I don't, you know, it's going to throw everything off for me, is Lawrence.
All right, good talk, Tomas. 97.7. Sports Talk Radio will be right
again?
Back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
I missed that one.
Yep.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-san, Tomas Mauricio. We got Tyler Kissinger working the board, making it all happen. We talked defensive line, and Tomas, it's just – I don't know if we just need to get back in radio shape or you just have some bad luck today.
Maybe no, I don't know. I think you're getting me ready for that rant thing. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Get them fired up. You got to get them fired up. You got to poke the bear a little bit. Yeah. So let's.
What? You're saying that I'm fat like a bear? What? Man, I go to the gym.
I told you
day
I didn't need a woman, right?
Yeah.
I told you that. Yeah. Here we go. All right. So.
You mean these pants make me look fat?
There we go.
Keep order, help! Keep order, I said.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. Let's do linebackers.
Yes, sir.
Okay. To me, the Saints have been alternating guys in, and there's all these different lineups every week.
Yeah.
Practice every day. You're not sure who the starters are. The beginning preseason, the first two games, the linebacking crew has been a little bit different order. And it's makes you wonder exactly what they're doing, and that's what I think is preseason. Mm-hmm. But right now, DeMario Davis, the offseason acquisition, looks to be everything he was touted to be.
Yeah, except that middle linebacker.
Except that middle linebacker.
You
right.
know, he had a career year at middle linebacker. Let's sign him and put him on a weak side. I mean, it makes perfect sense, you know. But, yeah, I mean, we got Anzalone wearing the headset and being in the middle. We got, you know, hell, I was in the middle for a little while.
Right.
We got everybody but Davis in the middle. But you know, I'm hoping. Not that I don't have anything against Teo. I really don't. I think he's a good rotation player or backup. You know, he's good against the run and everything. But man, there's been a lot of time spent here during training camp and in preseason games where Teo is playing in the middle, and I'm not a big fan.
No.
So I guess we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, I think all in all, just with all the talent, Teo has deficiencies in his game. He's not great in coverage.
Yeah.
Last year, he came up big with really defensive big stops at just really times where the team needed him coming in a reserve role. Having said that, I still look at it and say, man, you really want a guy like Alex Anzalone, who's extremely talented, although he's had injury problems.
Yeah.
But he's fast. He's all over the field. You want to see the light come on for him because if that happens, now all of a sudden you have two good, strong, physical guys that can play the run and play the pass.
Right. And so I think, okay, number one, it is preseason, and I think you're moving people around. Okay. Number two, I trust Mike Nolan. One of the real big differences in the Saints team to me is when we finally decided to bring in some real coaches who could coach linebackers, who could coach the defensive line, who could coach the offensive line. And don't forget our special teams coach, Yoda. So, you know, I think that this may have made a world difference. So I'm going to trust Mike Nolan. Perhaps Nolan sees something else and says, you know, with the schemes that we are going to run, in reality, Davis will be a much better player for us on the outside. In the schemes we run, someone else will be better at the center position, at the Mike position. But then I'm going to come up with this. Just like our offense is multidimensional, why can't our defense be the same way?
Right.
So that I believe that Coach Nolan has gotten together with Coach Allen, and they've come up with a myriad of possibilities.
I like that. No, I get it. I was paying
attention. And with
a plethora.
And with the cornucopia.
There we go.
A veritable smorgasbord.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Well, okay, you get the picture.
Yeah, no, we're all over it, man. I think
it's almost as many linebackers as we got metaphors.
There you go. All right. So I'm telling you, want to know which ones?
Well, look, they like flexibility. You know, Klein can play multiple positions.
That's
if they get
I'm
Anzalone playing multiple
exactly.
positions, you got Davis playing multiple
and
positions.
And so you can put these people in the right place depending on who we're playing against.
Yeah.
If we're playing against this guy, this team here, and they have an exceptional person going to the outside, hey, we put Davis on that side over there. If they have a running back, like we're playing the Redskins and we know Adrian Peterson's going to go up the middle, well, then we put this guy at Mike.
Right. Yeah.
See, I'm serious. I mean,
yeah.
you look at each team, and now you can say, well, we don't have just these, you know, it's not going to be just Marty and Robertson playing every game. Okay? Now we say, well, depending on who we're playing against, what we're going to play. And don't forget that we still can play three safety sets.
Yeah.
So, for me, if you want to know the guys I have making a team at linebacker, I think I wouldn't surprise anybody with the ones I have except for Stupar. I think people might be surprised to hear me say I think Stupar makes the sixth linebacker.
But well, really he's a special teams ace, and those guys, listen, the average fan does not go around putting a lot of weight into how a guy plays on special teams unless he's just one of those guys who's a gunner and blows up plays every second punt or kickoff. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time, you don't notice how effective the guy is, and Stupar is a very good
guy. I think it's going to come down to him and Elliott.
And I just don't see Elliott making him. He's a nice guy and everything, but
Elliott's this nice year's.
No, that's what they say. They say he's a very nice, he's a very gentle kind of guy, you know, when he's not on the field.
Well, tell that to the quarterbacks in the first game against the Jaguars.
He's not on the field.
Two and a half sacks. Yeah. He's a guy that he's kind of like Muhammad was last year, where late in the fourth quarter, going up against backups, he had a bunch of sacks.
Right.
And, you know, in the defensive line looked dominant. Our backups like just destroyed their backup offensive line. He got a bunch of sacks, and now you're starting to hear his name. But I look at it the same thing as Muhammad until he gets some snaps with the first team, because Muhammad, because of injury and just holding people out like Cam Jordan, he's been getting a lot of snaps with the ones. And, you know, I've seen a couple of things, but nothing that jumps out.
No.
So he, you know, where's those 2.5 sacks, 3 sacks a game
when you're
playing against top-line guys.
Right.
So it's just something that, look, maybe if he does it again and has another 2-sack game and where he's getting pressures and causes a fumble, we can start saying, man, I mean, this dude is causing a buzz. But here's the thing. He's not a young guy like Muhammad that's raw.
Right.
He was on Green Bay's roster,
I think,
last year. So he's a veteran. He knows how to play. It's not like he's probably reached his ceiling. It's just a matter of the Saints think that he has a spot on the roster. And quite frankly, at this point,
I don't think so.
I'm a little reluctant to believe that, too.
I don't think so. I think that we're going to keep the six that have already been on his team. I don't see anybody new at linebacker except for Davis. Okay. And I think that, surprisingly, I think they're going to put Jumper on the developmental squad.
See, man, Jumper got abused.
He did. He's got so much raw talent that I think that the Saints – I mean, I watch him run across the field. He does have speed. And you can't teach speed. Mm-hmm. So I think he's one of those raw kids that has to go on developmental squad. And again, that's just my thought on it.
Sure.
You know?
Well, we'll find out.
All right. So now, Dave, I hate to cut you off, but you know, running out of time here.
Are we?
Yeah.
You see, you're trying to get me back, huh? One more guy. We need to talk about AJ Klein because he's another guy that's a starter. He's a starter at Sam, strong side linebacker. Think about it, Sam, kind of like a nose tackle, doesn't get a ton of snaps. And he was last year's kind of big-name defensive free agent that we picked up.
Yeah.
Had his moments. He's known to be very smart, gets guys lined up, knows the defense inside and out, knows how to help his teammates to understand the defense as the action unfolds.
Yeah.
Problem is, it seems like he's getting pushed a little bit further and further and further.
It does seem that way.
You know, down the side.
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, look, he's not going to be a Hall of Famer or anything. You know, he's not a Pro Bowler and that sort of thing necessarily. But the guy can play. And if nothing else, he's going to be a valuable rotation, you know, because he's another guy that can play multiple spots. And I think the Saints are going to be in good shape late in games with having fresh legs, being able to come in at linebacker.
Absolutely. Not linebacker, just about every spot. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about the defensive line.
But that's such a huge change at linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get excited reading these names off. We are going to have – and give me about a minute here, Tomas, and I'm going to let you get your opinion in. We have
– you can cut me off again.
Yeah, we have –
all right, go ahead.
We have – this defense has a lot of talent.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's exciting to think about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us what you think about the defense here in the next – no?
Well, I already told you, I think that we're going to have the kinds of players on this team that we can have a situational defense, which means we're going to have an extensive playbook for defense, and it's going to be game by game. And I think that's going to put a real – you know, we're talking about playing against the top-level teams. Well, now, when those top-level teams look at having to play us and looking at our defense, they, too, are going to say, man, you know, that's not the Saints team that we used to beat. That's the Saints team that now you have players. Who are we going to pick on? You know, how are we going to set up our game? Hey, this is the weak spot. Let's pick on that weak spot. Okay, where is it? You see? And I think that I'm trying to stretch it to make sure he cuts me. Okay. So I think that we have the players to be situational. All right. So that's what I'm going to say to you. We still have time, so you can't cut me off yet.
Well, no, but you know what? If someone wants to get in touch with us.
What happened to our camera operator?
You don't like that? Oh, you just like looking at Heath all the time. All right.
I was talking and showed Heath. That's how you work it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're just watching him with his intent look, trying to figure out.
I was moving my mouth on it. Yeah.
So, okay. Either way, there's just so many and so much talent on this team, and it's hard not to get excited about all the things that are going on over at Saints camp. I'm looking forward to, my expectations are so high on this team. Just so much talent. Maybe the most talented Saints team that's ever been fielded. It's going to be exciting.
Hold on to your thought there because, you know, we're coming up to a break.
Coming up to a break? Hey, if you want to send us an email, bsandbeer@icloud is the way to get in touch with us.
That's
we
right.
love hearing from you. Matter of fact, you can call us at 701-901-1295.
That's correct.
That's the graffiti hotline. Get in touch with us. We love the interaction. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the final drive home, the last segment. We'll close it out, talk a little defensive backs. How about that? All right.
Kissing hands and shaking babies, the BS and Beer podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, we've covered it all. We've covered the offense. We covered the defensive line. We covered the linebackers.
Yeah.
Now it's time.
Did you cover the spread?
You know what? No, but my bookie does.
Oh.
You like that segue? I'm pretty good at this stuff.
There. All right.
But now let's talk about the back end. Who's some of the guys? It's kind of been quiet. Like, there's no real standouts, no guys that, like, you get in those reports, like we were talking about Tre'Quan Smith.
Uh-huh.
The first 10 days of training camp, his name was popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
As far as the defensive backs go, it's kind of been quiet. And, you know, not that it's been good or bad, it's just nothing has really been reported. When I was in camp, I didn't really see anything that stood out. Marshawn Lattimore looks good, but you wonder, are you getting that veteran, maybe 70%?
Well, early on. I mean, Lattimore wasn't actually looking all that great, but then we kind of found out that he was working more on technique instead of relying just on instinct and his athletic ability.
Right.
More recently, this week, in fact, we heard reports that he basically took over and was, you know,
right. He closed off the
was
day
dominant.
Sunday with like three interceptions. So.
And, we did hear for a while we were getting a lot of buzz about Marcus Williams at safety.
Oh, you know what?
He got a lot
you
of play
me out
there.
On that one. You're right. So I said it's been quiet. The one guy who has not been quiet is Marcus Williams. He intercepted Drew Brees like 3 days in a row. And we've talked about this where you go to camp, you don't always have ones against ones. And sometimes you hear about a guy getting an interception or a tip or this or that. And it's against one of the backups, one of the quarterbacks that maybe last week had. That last preseason game had four turnovers, but he's doing it against Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who's not quiet at all. After ending his season in a way that's, a way you want to forget.
Yeah.
He's going to be a guy that everything, every report, everything we've seen, everything we've heard, he's taking his game to the next level.
Well, and you've heard some things too about Millett in practices.
Yeah,
even though he didn't look that good in the Arizona game, but in practice they're saying that he's just eating it up. And the defensive back coach even said, man, he's been a world of difference between last year and this year for him. So I have to believe that's part of what we have going on. Now, do we have some people who are in jeopardy? I would say yes. I think that there's one particular person who we actually even had a soundbite for who might not make it.
All right. Don't keep us in suspense.
Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
I mean, when you start looking at the numbers, it's going to be hard. You have Natrell Jameson, who's a draft pick, fifth rounder, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that, while I wasn't overly impressed with him.
So here's our pick segment.
In the game on Thursday.
I decided to start with the two greatest picks
the game on
in Saints
Friday?
History.
Yeah. He's a guy that's shown well in practice. And
now he fires over the middle, intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter near side to the 40, and John Sullivan holds him down at the 47-yard line.
He was originally a defensive back. He was a defensive player. And the last 2 years, they're playing safety. And so now,
it's like, no,
we want your court. And so now he's going back to court.
70 yards on the return. 70 yards on the return by Porter.
Yeah. That's his competition. Patrick Robertson comes in.
I think that T.J. Williams is suited. I think what the Saints envisioned for him was him being the same position as what they brought P-Rob in to do. I would say he would be backing up P-Rob. But Mallett has come on so strong at that particular position at covering the slot. Then I'm just thinking at this point, you know, unless PJ has some extraordinary last two preseason games, because remember we drafted two defensive backs,
right?
Yeah,
and you're not going to cut those guys, so suddenly it becomes a numbers game.
I mean, fifth round
Moore
pick draft.
They are going to. I think he's going to go to a practice squad.
I think so too.
He's not.
But I don't think Jamerson is. I think Jamerson's going to make this team, and if he makes this team, then again it's a numbers game. Because Jamerson is not a slot guy, okay? But, again, you're talking about flexibility. They're trying to put him back at corner, but he does have experience playing at safety as well.
He's a guy of versatility, and I think that's the thing, especially on the bottom end of the roster, a guy with versatility,
but
man.
PJ has never shown anything at slot. No. He's definitely, if anything, he's an outside guy.
But that's what they've been working him at was at
but
slot.
You got Jamerson, you got Mallett, you got Hardy. There's another
really
guy,
like Hardy.
You know,
he's
and
players.
He's a big
really,
time
really
special
like
teams contributor and all. And so, I don't know, man. I don't know.
There's a lot of question marks after you get past the starters: Ken Crowley, Kurt Coleman, and Von Bell. I mean, look, to me, they have them listed. The Saints have them listed as co-starters, but quite frankly, Kurt Coleman, it's his position.
No, I think Coleman's
And Von Bell's going to have a big role.
Yeah, if we go two, it's Coleman and Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. Williams and Lattimore. After that, you're talking about your slot guy. Your nickel is going to be Patrick Robinson. And then after that, I mean, there's going to be surprises. I mean, there's a lot of competition in there. There's some guys who are on the, like you guys just mentioned, Hardy, Mallett. They're guys who played well last year enough for the coaches to keep them around that they said, man, I see something.
Yeah.
And now it's time for them to, you know, they're going to have their opportunity to win a spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if the Saints are going to be quite ready to give up on PJ yet.
I agree with that.
You know, he's one of those guys that it's like, God, man, you don't want to lose what was invested in him, at this point.
I think that one of these guys from the lower end, it's almost like they're going to have to do something to step up to prove to the Saints that, okay, we got to make the tough decision. Because if it's all things being equal, I think teams tend to, Tomas, go back to what they know. They go back to the guy they're comfortable with.
Yeah. So let's see. PJ, how many times has he been injured? How many times has he not been able to play in a game? Okay, I know you invested a third round that they picked him in? Okay, I can understand that, but just last night I watched a guy that they invested a second round in playing for the Ravens.
Oh, did you see? What's his name? Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste. So, you know, now not that kind of draft. I mean, PJ Williams is a talented player. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, that's why I say to you, this is a hard cut because we have a lot of talented players. But I don't see Hardy getting cut. Too good on special teams, and he's really improved at defensive back. I don't see Mallett getting cut. I don't see Jamerson getting cut. And then you have the three starters. Well, that's six, and that's all I see at defensive back. Okay? So if that's all I see at defensive back, then PJ's not there. Okay? I'm just saying to you.
Listen, I'm not even disagreeing with you because, quite frankly, it could shake out a bunch of different ways.
Sure it could.
But at this point, I think I'm just leaning towards the safe pick because I haven't seen enough out of these guys. Although I'm going to tell you, I haven't seen anything out of PJ Williams either that makes me say the coaches say, hey, man, look, he, you know, yeah, that's our guy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much out of him. So
How I've heard that about Jamerson and Millett. Both of those guys have gotten
now,
the coach's attention.
Millett, I've heard the name quite a bit. He's making plays. He's doing things. So I agree with you there. The other guys I'm not as high on, the Hardy. Cameron Moore, I think, is a guy who's going to need some seasoning, a little marinating on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Jamerson, depending on what the Saints' role, what they believe his role is going to be. Because, again, you know, for the last 2 years, he hasn't been playing cornerback.
Right.
But maybe they look at him and say, hey, he can play special teams, and he can back up at safety or corner. If that's how they envision him, then all of a sudden his value goes up.
Remember, the rules have changed for punts and kickoffs.
And that's going to have a huge effect.
That's why I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised that really the harder cut's going to be defensive line, because they're not going to be keeping a lot of those wide bodies just for special teams.
Yeah.
You know? Instead, they're going to go linebacker defensive backs for the special teams. So, to me, two areas where we have some depth, so maybe the numbers change. I'm just saying, I based it on six players being in defensive back. And when I did that and I started going down my list, it was like, I got no room for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
And that's how it's going to get
caught. And four safeties. So, and again, I have Banjo making it a safety at this point, because I really do think he can play safety. And if anybody's weak in that group, believe it or not, I would say Von Bell is the weak guy.
You know, I read all kinds of stuff on the internet, and I'm talking about just average people just speculating stuff, and that's kind of thing that's picking up momentum. But I just can't see they not going to give up on the Von Bell experiment.
No, I don't think so. But I'm just saying to you, of the, you know, if you're looking at four safeties, I got two quality ones, Coleman Williams, no doubt. Okay. Banjo, I think, is quality as well, on a second level, second tier. But Bell hasn't really, to me, just based on last year and
early
so far
on
preseason.
He did. Early in preseason, he did.
Yeah.
They were talking about what a big difference he's taking a step.
But I haven't seen it.
Lately,
seen
not
it.
A lot.
You know? And then, of course, is now the scuttlebutt that's on the internet is the kid, Ioloka, did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
The safety that Cincinnati.
You mean Lee Iatoka.
Ioloka.
You toke? Really? No. I didn't know you still toke.
Easy.
Oh, well, anyway.
Easy.
No, he's a musician. Hey, you know, I'm just saying. he got cut by Cincinnati. Cincinnati just said, we're parting ways. And there's a lot of scuttlebutt about, ooh, maybe the Saints could pick him up at safety. Now, I've read it a couple different places. I'm like, why? Why would we do that? You know, he's not. If we were going to do that, we would have re-signed Vaccaro.
Right. You know? Similar players.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's just out there.
All right. Well, real quick, Tomas, what do you want to see on Saturday. The game's on Saturday.
Game's on Saturday. What I would like to see, I'd like to finally see Drew Brees at quarterback.
Yeah.
That'd be the first thing I'd like to
see.
All
right, thanks for your input.
You're welcome.
Hey, it's good to be back.
The rant is coming.
It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. We've enjoyed talking to you.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.